very pleasant good evening to you. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, where truth is our bitch. There's radio, then there's the Phil Henry Show, and this is what you got, man. We have Dean Wheeler, who's going to be joining us here very, very soon, because Dean is going to be commenting on perhaps the single most bizarre story we've had today, maybe for a while, and that was the story of this very unfortunate woman. I don't know if you heard, but she was found... her body was found in a stairwell at San Francisco General Hospital. Now, I don't know the circumstances, nor have they been released surrounding the woman's death. And I'm not even telling you that we want to talk about that specifically, because we got a rule on this show. We may tangentially touch on certain topics, but really, this is something I had told, I'd warned Dean about, that I didn't want to get into the particulars of this story.
Well, but he's going to talk about the Obamacare.
Right, but I didn't want him... See, that's what I'm saying, you know? I don't want this to be an occasion for him to start bashing people that don't support Obamacare because of this story, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be about Obamacare.
I understand, bud, but apparently you didn't hear what I just said.
Did you hear what he just said? It's not supposed to be... Yes, it's about Obamacare.
Right, but I don't want it. Never mind. Forget that I even brought it up.
No, you, Phil, you can't do that. He is out there. Okay, he's at Surly's in the East Bay of San Francisco. And if you want me to bring him on, Phil?
I can do it. What's with you bringing him on?
Well, you were looking very distressed.
Yeah, you looked like you were going to yell at me some more.
And if you were yelling at Bud...
No, I'm doing a radio show. Welcome to the show, folks. Thank you for bringing... I'm not even ready to have Dean Wheeler on.
Well, tell him right now. Hey, Dean? Dean? Hey, Dean?
Give me the phone, will you? Dean, it's Phil Henry. Are you there?
I am here, Phil, and Emerilda has just taken the stage here at Surly's. We're in Moraga, California, and she is on stage. We had taken a couple of weeks off, and I'm so grateful that you're with us and that your audience is with us. We've got a wonderfully retooled set that in here she is right now.
Are you going to be able to talk about this?
I certainly am, Phil. I just wanted to see her come out on stage. She's doing well. We've got a wonderfully retooled act, Phil. I hope that everyone can come and see her. Eventually, we will be down in the Los Angeles area, and we're going to be traveling throughout the Midwest in the coming months.
So you've got a tour you put together?
We have, exactly.
All right, Dean, without getting into the particulars of this story out of San Francisco... You had a certain opinion that you'd expressed in the Northern California Holistic Center bulletin concerning Obamacare and the treatment of patients in hospitals.
Well, and I think it bears scrutiny, Phil, the way that patients are being treated now without national health care and without the Affordable Care Act. You have people that do not have medical care. That's quite obvious. You have people that do not have dental care or vision protection in this, but they also don't have hospital coverage. And as a result, we're seeing, if you look at the statistics, I'm sure you're going to see that there has been an upswing in the number of patients that are having a difficult time in terms of their records being handled properly by these hospitals. Can I just take a moment, Phil? I'm really enjoying this. The horn player that we've hired for her is under control, a guy by the name of Del Satch.
What's his name?
His name is Del Satch, and I know it's an unusual name, but I'd appreciate it. I just heard someone laugh.
Yeah, Phil laughed a little bit.
I'd appreciate if you didn't do that, Phil.
I'm sorry, the name was... It made me laugh.
Well, if that's how this is going to go...
Phil, he hired this horn player that he's finally happy with.
That's great. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the challenges that you've been facing with the horn player. I just thought that the name Del Satch was amusing. I will finish my laughter now.
Yeah, because it's really not about Del. It's about Emerilda and how we've been able to resurrect these two very fragile sets of music that had been utterly gutted by the band members... that we had before. Okay, you're going to want to get him. Because what's happening now is the horn player is moving up. You understand what I mean, Phil? So I'm not trying to tell you anything other than... Hold on for a minute.
What was that?
That's what I'm going to try to find out. What was that, Phil?
I don't
What was that?
Okay, we're with Dean Wheeler, and we're talking about Obamacare, and we're talking about hospitals and the treatment of...
Hey, hold on, Phil. Way to do it, baby. I love that.
We're talking about health care and the treatment of people in hospitals. Not to get into any particular story, but what we do want to talk about is hospital care.
Well, that is right, Phil. Hospitals are having a difficult time keeping track of patients. They're having a difficult time staffing properly. I don't think you have to be a Daily Viewer of Investigation Discovery, for instance, Phil, to know that we've had horror stories with staff. We're talking about nurses. We're talking about interns. Individuals that have access to patients after hours that have caused the death, and let me underline that word, Phil, the death of certain of patients, either because you've got a psych. I want that whoever that son of a.
All right, hold on for a minute, Dean. What do you got going on there?
I don't know. I'm hearing a phone. You get that son of a bitch, and you bring him to me.
Can you watch your... We're on the air, Dean, and I do want to finish this. I don't want to get distracted, as we have often been in the past with you.
I understand it, Phil.
And I heard the son of a bitch.
All right, I apologize. Get whoever it is, I don't care where you got to go. I don't care how far you have to run. I'll spare no expense.
Okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm sorry for my emotionalism there, but I will not have anyone ruin... the hard work that my young wife has been doing on preparing for tonight's performance.
Dean Wheeler is with us. All right, you said something that is one of the more ghoulish manifestations of the modern hospital, modern doctor medical experience, and that is that we've had people killed by a certain kind of psychopathic nurse. They've been killing them late at night. They've been killing them by way of the intravenous treatment they're receiving. They're killing them by way of injection. What has this got to do with Obamacare?
Well, I'm just saying, with Obamacare, you have now national health care. There is a reporting platform. You are dealing with the federal government now. You want to fool around with the federal government? Be my guest. If you want to try to kill people as a nurse, if you want to lose someone's chart, and I'll say it, if you want to lose someone's body, it's not going to be so easy anymore because you'll have the federal government staring at you and making your life a living hell until they find out and get to the bottom of it. You can well imagine, Phil, that this would be a very difficult thing to accomplish.
All right, talking to Dean Wheeler on the world-famous Phil Henry Show about Obamacare and how a hospital treatment would be improved. Just one question before we go to our break. If hospitals are losing charts and losing people, what is the federal government going to do exactly or specifically to remedy that?
Well, I think what you've got, if bodies are turning up in stairwells, if bodies are turning up in elevator shafts, I don't know what the problem is. I'm just saying that you're on notice as a hospital, as a nurse, as a staff. You're now on notice. That if you think that this is some game and you're going to just lose charts and you're just going to lose patients and really, it's going to be a matter for the police. This is going to be a matter for the federal government because they're going to be staring at your hospital, at your staff, and they're going to be saying, you had a patient that walked in here on Friday night. Where is it? Or he or she. Where's the body? Where are they? In the case of this poor young woman.
All right, well, I still don't know what the enforcement arm would be there.
Well, you've heard of the FBI.
Well, yes, Dean, we've heard of the FBI, but wouldn't that be a case for the FBI anyway?
No, not necessarily.
No, not necessarily. That would be a police matter. All right, we'll be right back. Dean Wheeler with us here. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk here with Dean. And talk with him and also listen to the performance of his wife, Emeralda, who is currently performing there at Surly's in Moraga in the East Bay. And he's talking about Obamacare and the hospital experience. The body of a young woman was lost. I say young woman, a woman in her 50s was lost and eventually found. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, this lady was lost and then her body was found 2 weeks later. the world famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And we have with us Dean Wheeler at Surly's in the East Bay of San Francisco as he's talking with his. Talking with us, and he's watching his wife, Emeralda, performing before a good crowd out there. Dean, I didn't ask you what the size of the crowd was.
Well, you know, it's a very good crowd. It's a very, very good crowd. And
is it a sellout?
Yeah, did sell out.
It's a very good crowd, and it's a late-arriving crowd. I have no doubt in my mind that it's going to be a sellout, and I don't think we need to worry about that. In fact, let's not even talk about that. I think it's going to be a great crowd. And
so it's still people are still coming in, huh?
Yeah, people are still coming in. I think, Phil...
All right, I mean, I don't want to get into the business end of it.
Let's talk about Obama, and let's talk about how Obamacare is so needed in this country because we have, right now, we've got a lot of Americans that are going to check into a hospital, Phil. We got a lot of Americans. You find that son of a bitch.
Okay, do you want to deal with that problem?
No, they're going to deal with a problem. I'm not here to stop a guy with a foghorn. It's not my problem. Let me talk to the owner of the club, and I want to talk to his wife, whatever her name was, the lady that I talked to before. Phil, we can keep talking. Everything is under control, but there's somebody here who's obviously trying to ruin the evening here for those of us who are out here supporting Emeralda Wheeler. We've had a lot of people calling the Northern California Holistic Center. We've had an awful lot of people that have come in and tried to disrupt our natural childbirth classes. We've had people disrupting.
You've got people that are actually harassing your center up there?
Oh, yeah. We've had people who harass the... you know, we have a yoga class that we give our seniors every morning. And we've had people come in and try to disrupt that.
What are they doing, Dean, to the seniors?
Well, they're doing childish things. They're bringing in, there's some senior citizens, I guess, have been paid money to come in and act ridiculous.
What?
Well, if that's Bud asking that question?
Yeah.
Well, then he just wants to cause a problem.
I'm asking you, like what?
They've got seniors coming in, as they had, for instance, this morning. I guess they're paying seniors to come in and pass gas in the middle of the you know, I heard the laughter, and again, this is... I'm not even a half hour into your show, Mr. Henry. You've been laughing. This guy's laughing. This is one of the best nights we've had.
Dean, this is Margaret. I can assure you that the laughter is not ill-intended. I think Phil was being just reflexive there. I think, Bud, you know what you get with Bud. I'm very sorry to hear that, and I'm very sorry to hear that Emerald is being harassed.
Well, and I think she's being harassed by individuals that think that, you know, that sing. I'm not saying you, Margaret.
Well, no, it certainly isn't me, because I'm a professional and of many years. I think that Emeralda's got a beautiful voice, but I'm not necessarily threatened by her.
Well, I mean, she's not trying to threaten you.
Okay, let's not have an argument here between you and...
I'm not arguing, Phil.
All right, but I mean, let's not have a problem.
No, we don't want to have a problem. What I'm saying, let's get back to Obamacare. There are people going into hospitals every day, Phil, and they are being lost. A person checks into a hospital and you can't find them. Does this happen? Yes, it does. It happens in the United States of America. It doesn't happen in a third world country where you might think it happens, where people have been, quote, disappeared, end of quote, for years.
Well, you're talking political measures there now, you know.
Well, yes, you are, but it's the same phenomenon. You know, someone goes into a hospital and they're disappeared.
Well, you're not saying that people are being disappeared in this country.
No, I'm saying something worse. I'm saying that the hospitals are so inept. This is worse than disappearing someone. This is worse than a police state. These are well-meaning people who lose a human being. They lose a chart. They put them in a room, and they forget which room. And the person goes wandering into the hall to try to find, well, where are the nurses? They stumble, they fall.
Let's talk about this from a realistic standpoint, because you're getting into this now.
Yeah, we find out how Mr. Wheeler, how this lady, what happened, you know.
Well, I don't want to get into the discussion of why.
Well, not this lady, but let's talk about a person comes into a hospital under the present, shall we say, under the present system that we have for healthcare in this country. And under the present system, give me the scenario on how they get lost in the hospital.
Well, it's very easy, Phil. What happens is they're checked in. They're placed in a room by the hospital staff. If you've ever been hospitalized, you know that the process is quite long, or at least it seems that way. You have a lot of paperwork, and many times you're put into a temporary room. It may be off of the emergency or off of the admitting area until such time as a room is freed up. Now, if that's the case, which I don't doubt that may have been the case in some of these instances we're talking about, the patient eventually gets out of bed and goes looking for someone.
Why are they not just ringing the nurse?
Well, if they're disoriented, of course, they forget to ring the nurse, or perhaps the nurse is not at her station. A lot of times they have nurse buttons on these beds, nurse call buttons, simply to placate the patient so that they don't feel nervous, so that they know they feel they're being taken care of.
Well, what do you mean placate? Are you saying the button doesn't work?
Well, it's a placebo-like.
You gotta be putting me on and a button don't work.
Hold on for a minute. I didn't say the button don't work. I said the button isn't working. And the reason why the button isn't working is it's not supposed to.
Well, why would you have a button to call the nurse on a bed if it doesn't work?
I said, and I'll say it again, Phil, it's a placebo.
No, I understand that that's to make the person feel more comfortable. I get that. But if they have a real emergency...
They're in a holding area. They're in an admitting area. They're off of an emergency room. They are... I did not anticipate having to argue with you because I'm trying to watch my wife here on stage, and I'm also talking with you, Phil. I think we're all on the same page. You get that piece of garbage. Get that piece of garbage.
Okay, I'm going to hang up the phone then, I guess.
No, we don't... No, you're not hanging anything up.
Well, that's... What do you mean he's not hanging anything up?
This is Emeralda's big night.
Well, then, that foghorn's got to end.
I'm doing everything I can to get you find that guy. I don't care where you got to go. I don't care how much money it's going to cost me. Find him.
I don't understand how a guy can blast a foghorn in a club and no one can find the guy. That's almost as ridiculous as losing a patient.
No, don't start hanging that on me, Phil. The Obamacare issue and the hospital issue is very serious, all right? This has got nothing to do with what's going on with Emeralda right now or whether or not she's getting a proper, you know, respect for the people. Oh, you got... Hey, Billy?
Yeah, if it happens again...
It happened. Hold on. Billy, find that son of a bitch.
We're talking with Dean Wheeler. Do you want to go and...
Let me just go talk to the Mater D here and one of the bus boys that he thinks may be pulling this. Let me talk to the kid here.
All right, we're talking with Dean Wheeler.
Well, what is he doing?
He's off talking to the Mater D. He ought to talk to the club manager. His wife, Emeralda, is singing at Smurley's tonight there in Moraga, California. In the meantime, we're talking about Obamacare and how it will improve hospital visits. We've had a terribly unfortunate, tragic, if not, to me it sounds criminal, a criminal occurrence in a hospital where a woman was lost, her body's been found. Dean says that Obamacare, he says that this happens a lot and that Obamacare will get rid of it. But in the meantime, we're listening to his wife singing and we're hearing foghorns going off. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, double check. I'm talking to Snooki Rurton. And Snooki Snooki Merton? No, Snooki Merton, he works as a sound man there.
Snooki Merton works as a sound man where?
Up at Smurley's.
And what did he say?
He thinks, and they're pretty sure they've got it narrowed down to one or two guys.
One or two guys? I mean, it doesn't sound to me like...
Why is this taking so long?
They're doing the best they can.
Well, okay. We're going to keep an eye on this. Jesus.
Well, Phil.
No, you know, I'm talking to a guy here. I'm talking to a guy here about health care, and the next thing you know, we got a breaking news story. Who's blowing the foghorn?
It doesn't help that you think it's funny.
I don't think it's funny. Who's blowing the foghorn in the middle of this guy's wife's set? World famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, online at philhenryshow.com. Get yourself a backstage pass and live again, baby, live again. 5,000 hours of audio, online audio. You can download it if you are a BSP. You can get our daily podcast. You can get it all, man. You can get it all and then some at philhenryshow.com. We'll be back with Dean Wheeler and more on, well, everything. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. I say everything, you know.
Well, they're looking for the man with the foghorn.
Yeah. Get Snooki on the phone. I'm talking Snooki. 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 And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, online at philhenryshow.com. Thanks to all of our great affiliates, our great listeners, our great advertisers, our great show. There's radio, and then there's, well, there's Phil.
Very nice.
And we are talking here with Dean Wheeler. Oh, I like this. This is very dramatic music. Dean Wheeler. Dean is at Smurly's in the East Bay of San Francisco. I'm not trying to make a joke out of this, Dean. I know it's very important. It's vitally important to yourself and to your wife, Emeralda, as she is debuting tonight there. After a layoff, you guys had really kind of retooled the act and felt that you had something obviously worthy of people's attention. And that's what you're doing this evening. I apologize for... it's not my fault. Did you find who it was that was blowing off this foghorn?
Oh, there was a foghorn that you heard and your listeners heard in the first few minutes of our interview that apparently Phil was being played with by a member of the kitchen staff here in the lounge area. I've been assured by Madeline and by Craig, the owners of the club, that they are right now going through a very exacting search for who this person could be. They've narrowed it down to one of three people. All three of them are kitchen workers, two busboys, and a chef. That's all they'll tell me. But they're very, very confident that they're going to be able to find out who this person is. But I wanted to get back to Phil, what we were talking about.
Absolutely. So let's get back to the hospital care that people will get under Obamacare. Not that, you know, it's going to be radically different. I mean, if you have insurance, there's a certain level of hospital care that you're going to get.
Well, yes, and Phil, let's keep in mind that it was Ronald Reagan that, it was the Reagan administration that passed the law that ensured medical treatment for all people. It was the Reagan... You better find that...
Okay, Dean, I'm telling you, I'm going to have to hang up.
No, hold on. Where is he? Well, where is he? I know you got it narrowed down to three. I'm being assured they've got it narrowed down.
If they've got it narrowed down, there's a guy with a foghorn out there, and he's in the middle of your wife's set. There it is again.
That's it again. They're hearing it on the radio. We're broadcasting live on the Phil Henry Show. On the Phil Henry Show. I don't care if you never heard it. Well,
okay, that's really flattering.
I'm sorry, Phil. The fact is, we're on a radio show. Phil Henry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. Huh? I don't know. He's at what station are you on up here?
Never mind, man. Find the foghorn before I have to hang up the phone.
All right. You better find this guy, because this guy I'm talking to on the radio is about to come through the phone. And my wife deserves better. Huh? My wife deserves better. What do you mean I give her my best? I give her my... You know, this is the crudest bunch of people.
You know, I got to tell you, it doesn't sound like you're being treated very seriously here. You got your wife on stage trying to perform. Wow.
All right, that's it. Huh? Either you find that guy or I'm going to tear this place inside out. I will throw this place into the street. Huh?
Now, we've got Dean Wheeler on the phone, folks. There's somebody with a foghorn in the middle of his wife's set at Smurly's in Northern California. We're talking about health care, and we're trying to get to the bottom. There it is again.
I'm going to throw this place into the street. I'm telling you right now, I'll throw this place into the street if you don't find that guy. That's right. You don't want to see me when I get worked up like that, okay? Have a care, my friend. Yeah, is that right? You and who? You and who else? Because it's going to take more than just you.
Okay, Dean, thank you very much.
No.
I'm going to hang the phone up.
No, I'm done. All right, I apologize, Phil. They assure me they've got it narrowed down now.
They had it narrowed down to three guys, and now they have it narrowed down to what?
They've got it narrowed down. They know for a fact, for a fact that it's either this chef or this, it's not the busboy, it's the guy parking cars.
They had it narrowed down to two busboys and a chef.
Do you want to talk about the health care, or do you want to keep going around and around with this chicken stuff?
All right, Dean, let's get back to health care. So the hospitalization of people under Obamacare will eliminate this problem of patients being lost. Now, you were in the middle of describing to us how it is a patient gets lost. You were saying that in the admitting areas, they will put people in rooms, and the button that you ordinarily push for a nurse is not plugged into anything.
See, that I find that to be very, very strange. I don't understand. I understand you're saying that's a placebo effect.
Well, it's to give people the confidence that they're going to be helped if they need help. But generally, those are not plugged into any nurse station. They don't have the people.
So when a person is feeling ill or needs a nurse and they're pushing that button and no one's coming...
Well, you're generally going to have a doctor wandering by and looking in the room because it's in an admitting area, and they're going to say, where's the nurse, where's the nurse? And the doctor will then say, oh, we heard your alarm, or we saw your light go off, but we've got other... What's the problem? Now, Phil, understand, they're eventually going to go into a hospital room. Here is what the problem... The problem is not the fact that there's a fake button. They've been using the fake button for years.
They've been using the fake button for years?
Well, what's so funny?
I mean, I'm just thinking back on the number of times I've been visiting people in hospitals or of recent note when I was there, and I can assure you the button that I had worked, although it was in the hospital bed.
Well, when you finally get your room, it works, yes. I'm talking about in the admitting area.
You just talk about when they're down in the emergency area.
Yes, that's what he's been saying.
Oh, okay, so up in the hospital room.
In the hospital room, it will always work. But the point that I'm making is a person is admitted under the current system. They get out of the bed. They go wandering down a hall. They're looking for a nurse. And what will happen is if they don't find anyone, they find their way to another floor and another floor until finally they're in a basement boiler room or they're in an area that is well removed from the rest of the hospital, certainly removed from any area that's trafficked. And it is there that they will get disoriented and lost, and then sometimes they fall asleep. Sometimes they pass out.
Well, then what causes them to die? They're found in a boiler room dead?
Well, if they trip and fall down two flights of metal stairs, three guesses.
Phil, that's a tough fall.
Well, that is absolutely criminal. You understand? That is criminal.
What are you looking at me for? I'm telling you that Obamacare...
What is Obamacare going to do to stop that? If somebody gets out of a bed, okay...
Phil, why are you raising your voice with me?
I'm raising my voice with anyone that will hear me. I don't see how any... You know, any... Insurance is insurance. That doesn't control how a hospital treats people. Whether you have Obamacare insurance, whether you have your own insurance, it doesn't control how the hospital ultimately treats you. And if a person gets up disoriented with a fever or with under the influence of some medication, they trip and they fall three flights of stairs down and they kill themselves, that is criminal. Everybody that had anything to do with the care and the control and comfort of that patient should be indicted, including the doctor. And it should be criminal. There's no question. So how Obamacare is going to change that?
Look, you know, I was under the impression that you supported Obamacare.
I do.
Well, then what is this, Margaret?
That was my feeling as well, Dean.
What do you mean, Margaret?
I checked with Margaret before I came on the air to find out what your stand was on Obamacare.
I support Obamacare. I always have supported Obamacare. I don't support hospitals. I don't see how it's going to keep hospitals from losing people.
It's going to keep hospitals from losing people because the hospital is going to say, this guy's got, suddenly we got Obamacare. And it's almost like the movie that I saw today, Phil. I was watching it with some of the guys here from the club, some of the guys in Emerald's band. It was called War of the Worlds, and we were watching it in the dressing room. And in this film, gigantic robots attack New York. And you're under the sense that you have throughout the film is you can't make a move without these gigantic alien craft monitoring you. Well, in many ways, Obamacare is the same thing.
Yes, but that plays right into the hands of people that have been saying this is too much government control.
Yeah, that's exactly right. People are saying it's government control,
and going to make everything onerous, you know.
Well, I think that any government program, you can say that because we have a standing army. Today, the American people think standing armies are normal, but there was a time when the idea that we had a standing army put fear into the hearts of Americans. It, in their opinion, was unconstitutional, and it would only lead to a return to a monarchy. Americans are traditionally very stupid, and I say that with great love. I think we're a great people, but traditionally Americans are very, very stupid until they have their eyes open to things.
All right, we're getting off into a couple of weird tangents here. First of all, we're talking here with Dean Wheeler from right now from the Northern California Holistic Center.
What do you mean right now?
Because you're involved in your wife's career, you got you're now taking on the Obama you're taking on the forces opposed to Obamacare. Are you still going to be operating the Holistic Center?
No, we're going to close that down in about a month, and we're going to be in earnest operating supporting Emeralda's career and getting more information out to people about Obamacare.
Okay, so that's what I mean, right now.
Well, I...
You know, Dean, if you're not going to be at the Northern California Holistic Center, Phil has to be honest and say right now he's there.
Yeah, but in a month, I'm moving on to another job. It sounds like I'm a... It just sounds like I'm going down the road.
No, I want people to know you're not a guy that you have a hard time. This is your center. It's not, you know, you owned it.
Well, it's not for profit, so I don't own diddly squat. See, I would appreciate it. Probably what you need to do, Phil, is just not say anything else.
All right, Dean Wheeler with us as we, and Emeralda, his wife, is taking a break on stage there in Northern California at Smalley's, which is, okay, I just heard that foghorn again, Dean.
Yeah, I heard it too. What's the story, Bill? Before I come in there, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to...
All right, let's put him on hold, okay?
You know what, I'll take that knife.
Oh, my God, did you hear that?
Yeah, put him back up. Hey, Dean?
Yeah?
What did you just say to that guy?
I didn't say anything. I'm telling this guy here, it's Craig and Madeline, they're the owners of this club. Find that guy with the foghorn, or I'm going to throw this place right...
out into the street, yeah. But that guy ain't gonna throw a place in the street. He better stop throwing a place in the street.
Yeah, never want to have an empty threat.
You never want to make a threat like that ever. An empty threat.
Well, Suda, I mean, if you say you're gonna throw the place into the street.
You know what? And he must have seen that movie, The Border, with Jack Nicholson, because that's what he says halfway through that movie. I'm gonna throw this place into the street.
Well, what happens?
He gets thrown in the street. He gets thrown in the street. And I got money that says that's what's gonna happen to Dean. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Dean Wheeler, we'll be back with Dean here in a moment. Coming up, folks, we're going to put front and center our very own Bud Dickman, and we're going to talk about motorcycles. We're going to talk about the safe operation of motorcycles, and we're going to be talking about specifically this group of motorcyclists that set upon a motorist feeling that he had been responsible for the injury to one of them. There were no police called. This was just a bit of gang violence, mob violence, more like it, that targeted this driver. Fortunately, the man is okay. However, one of the motorcycle riders is apparently very, very seriously injured. Bud, you...
Yeah, I'm going to get the information on it and everything.
Oh, God, you're going to have him as a...
Hold on for a minute. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. I would like us not to be commenting so much on things, okay? World-famous Phil Henry Show, theoretically all around the world, yeah. You know, if you're online, you can watch us, you can listen to us, you can embrace us, you can be a part of us, you can be one with us, you can meld with us, or you don't have to at all. All you have to do is get a backstage pass or find a radio station in your area. We are rapidly and with great aplomb, and I don't know what that word means at all.
Well, I can look that up, but I wouldn't use words.
Don't worry about it. With great aplomb, we are gaining our affiliate base, we're gaining great listeners, and we are certainly gaining great advertisers. It's a fantastic rebooting of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And so many exciting things ahead for this show that you will be a part of. You, our loyal fans, I guarantee you, as we rise higher in the stratosphere of this amazing period in the history of the Phil Henry Show, as we rise higher and higher in the stratosphere, you will be a part of the great many projects that we have planned, will have planned, and I'm telling you, it's going to be a beautiful thing. There's no question about it. On the line with us here is Dean Wheeler from Smurley's in the city of Moraga, California. It's the East Bay of San Francisco as we listen in on his wife, Emeralda. We've got two things going on here, Dean. I'm trying to control this so we can continue talking about Obamacare. Very unfortunate occurrences, folks, in the news. Patients checking into hospitals being lost. Patients checking into hospitals not being found. Patients checking into hospitals being found in places other than their beds, and they have passed on. They have died. Is Obamacare going to help this? Now, I know I am a supporter of Obamacare, but I just don't see how Obamacare is going to correct this.
Phil, he told you that this has to do...
Hold on, Margaret, I'm going to talk to Dean, okay?
Well, I think Margaret has a great... but Margaret has an absolutely dead-to-rights understanding of this, Phil. And the fact is that Obamacare is going to well, Margaret, if you wouldn't mind, Phil, Margaret, if you could just explain this one part. I want to talk to Clarence and the Battleman. These are the two people that own the club, and they have assured me that they've never done... I just heard that again. Clarence and Phil, did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
All right. We just heard the foghorn again. You got it narrowed down. You know what? I'm going to narrow it down.
Hold on. Right.
Let me do this. What he's basically saying is the following thing, Phil.
Narrow down your ass.
All right, hang up on him.
No, but he's going to find out.
Your ass. I'm going to narrow...
I'm sorry. I can't have that. Okay, you got a fight going on or whatever the hell is happening there?
It's not a fight. He's looking for whoever has the foghorn.
Well, isn't that nice? I got a radio show I'm doing here. Hey, what's up with this thing, man? Would you fix my microphone, please, Robert?
Sorry about that.
Excuse us, folks. We just lost what is essentially a tension band for one of the supports on a microphone, and I've got a microphone sitting here. All right. The mic was had come loose of the frame. All right, I've lost my guest, but I will tell you what I haven't lost is my opinion on this. And my opinion is very strictly, whether or not a hospital has administrative problems, Obamacare, which is something that I do support, I don't think you can rely on Obamacare all the way down to the administrative level of a hospital to see to it that patients don't get lost. Now, I want to tell you guys something. There's a great essay that we've posted on our on one of the Facebook pages we have, facebook.com/Phil Henry. It's an essay by a writer who outlines the history of public money for health care. Understand something, folks, that up until 1986, it was perfectly legal in this country to turn away an individual who was ill and did not have health care. It's perfectly legal. Any hospital, any doctor, if they could not pay for the services, you could turn them away. In 1986, a law was passed with the support of President Reagan, with the support of the Republican, of the Republican base in both houses of Congress, and as a matter of fact, was supported by the president. By way of a comparison to by way of judging it against Christian values. The president said it wouldn't be Christian of us to turn away people who need health. This is President Reagan. This is a matter of record. This is a matter of law. It's nothing that you can deny, and it's nothing that you can turn your eyes from and say, oh, no, Phil's making that up, blah, blah, blah. None of that. It happened. And President Reagan said that, and the Congress of the United States said, and the American people apparently supported, this law in 1986, which I do not have the name of, and I apologize, but you can find this, because it happens to be a matter of law, federal law, that you cannot turn away someone who is ill, someone who needs medical support. Now, what was not dealt with, in that particular legislative effort was how to pay for it. How do you pay for it? That was not dealt with by the president back then, by President Reagan, by the Republican Congress, or by members of the Democratic Party. It was not dealt with. And so what happened? Insurance companies began to raise rates. Different states here, different places here, taxes, and so on and so forth. There was no concerted way to fund this. All we knew was that we now had a national law, which we've had ever since 1986, that says you cannot turn away people who need health care. Now, one of the things that is most disturbing about the misunderstanding of health care in this country is the idea that it became critical because we have a lot of Mexicans that are in need, a lot of illegal immigrant Mexicans that are in need of medical care. No, this was a problem. This was an emergency. This was a fiscal crisis long before we had any mention of Mexicans. You had a law, folks, that was passed. What do you give me to look for?
You're getting into a big, long speech here, Phil, and David is going to... He's on the line, right?
Yeah, David Hall's on the line. Want to know about a speech.
Oh, look, you know what? Forget it.
Oh, don't be a baby. But you're going to have to find a way to say these things and not bore people to tears.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Well, you know, it's true, Miss Henry. You don't want to bore nobody to tears, and at the same time, got to get rid of the same thing that won't bore somebody to tears.
What?
I understood. Thank you very much, Robert. Thank you for the marvelous support, for that note of support. All right, we're going to take a break here and go into our news, and then we're going to be talking about the motorcycle, the incident with motorcyclists in the New York City area, and a motorist that apparently got him upset, and they set upon this guy, and I don't know. What? We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here. Hour number two. And we are with, this hour we have Robert Green from Fraser Foods. Bud Dickman's going to join us on this story. And this has to do with this group of motorcyclists, Bud.
Yeah, some guys on a rice burner, though.
Okay, well, we're going to get out of this whole rice burner thing because I'm not so sure it's...
I find it to be very offensive, and I find it to be xenophobic, as well as Quisling-esque.
Quisling-esque?
Yes, that's Quisling-esque, yes.
That's like a Nazi thing.
Well, I find it to be very Nazi. I don't like it.
That Nazi? Talk about a rice burner.
Well, we're talking about Japanese bikes, okay? Is that right? How do you know these guys were on rice burners?
That doesn't sound like... I saw all the bikes that they was using, and it was all rice burners. That's for sure.
All right, well, I want to get on the phone here a gentleman who is no stranger to our radio show, Robert Green from Fraser Foods. Bob is at Fraser Foods this evening. As a matter of fact, they're having a little bit of a family evening out there for customers of Fraser Foods, a carnival of sorts. Bob, I know that you enjoy riding yourself motorcycles. What kind of bike do you have?
Well, Phil, I've got a road cruiser as a Honda. It is a 750, and it is a pretty impressive motorcycle. It is, as Mr. Dickman called it, a rice burner, if that's what you want to call it.
Well, I don't mean in an offensive way.
Well, it is a little bit offensive when you say when you're talking. I think Phil, you pointed it out, as did Ms. Gray, because it was made in Japan. People seem to feel free to call them rice burners, and I think it is a bit offensive.
Well, I mean, okay, it probably is. I think it's more of an indication as to a cultural difference than it is racial. There's no question that they're good motorcycles. A lot of people ride them.
And I want to say that even people that ride Harleys consider the bike that I have, the Honda, the big Honda, the big road cruiser, as a very superior motorcycle.
Not well anything.
It is considered to be a superior motorcycle to a Harley Davidson.
I don't agree on it, but you know, that's your opinion, and you're right to it.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask the host of the probe, Mr. Henry. I'm familiar with you. I'm familiar with Mr. Dickman. Is he going to be the one that I am debating?
You're not debating. Bud is in on this because he rides a motorcycle. He rides a Harley Davidson. I want to get to...
He may be riding... Sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
He may be riding a Harley Davidson, but I think it is... I think it probably reflects poorly on me that you got me interviewing or debating a guy that sounds like, you know, Froggy from the Mr. Frog Show, whatever the... Who's the one that... had sex with a pig? I forget.
Who's the one that had sex with a pig?
Are you talking about me?
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the fraud.
You're talking about Sesame Street. Never mind about... No, it's the Muppets. The Muppets.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Miss Piggy and Froggy, or Mr. Frog, or whatever his name was. I have all the respect in the world for you, Mr. Dickman, but you've got this frog voice.
Well, okay, Bob, rather... you have a voice that is not the most pleasant.
Yeah, you sound like a girl.
Oh, I sound like a girl.
What happened?
Hung up.
I got a whole hour with this guy. What am I supposed to do?
Well, I don't know, but if I were you, I'd get on the phone and I would somehow assuage the man's hurt feelings because you've got a little bit of a problem.
I don't have the problem. The problem is this guy, okay? Bud said he sounded like a girl, but this guy said he sounded like a frog.
Well, so what are we? We got you guys are going back and forth like children?
Well, it did sound about a frog.
Why does he get to call me a frog?
I didn't say he gets to call you a frog, but you called him a girl.
Oh, you know what? I don't give a damn whether I have the guy back on or not. How about that?
How are you going to fill this hour?
I'll find a way. Don't worry. I found a way before. I wanted to talk about, by the way, this was going to be your segment, Margaret, the WikiLeaks movie, Fifth Estate.
Well, I've got a couple of things I want to say about it, yeah, but one of the things... I guess he's back.
Is that Mr. Green? Are you there?
Yeah, I am here. I wasn't going to rejoin the program, but then I heard you say that you have a woman there that's going to do a report, and I didn't...
You didn't want anybody to think it was him.
I didn't say that, did I?
Yes, you did. You said if they hear a lady, they didn't want to think it was you.
No, I didn't say that. I said some people might mistake me.
Well, I think that that pretty much says it right there, that you know that you've got a bit of a higher-pitched voice.
Yeah, but I don't think I sound like a woman, unlike Mr. Dickman, who sounds like a frog. And that, I think, is the essential point of what we're talking about.
No, that's not the essential point of what we're talking about. The essential point of what we're talking about is this attack, a supposed attack on this motorist by people who ride motorcycles. We're not talking about whether you sound like a woman and Bud sounds like a frog. That's not it.
No, but I mean the secondary, once we got off the point.
Well, I think Phil would like to get back on the point.
All right, fine, we'll get back on the point.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Oh, that's great. Thank you very much.
I don't think this needs... All right, I guess you're entitled to a little sarcasm, but I'd like you to...
Bob, I can tell you that I will handle the show my way. I don't need any help from you. And as I said, we're perfectly capable of going the full hour without you. All right?
So he hung up again. You can't do that, Phil.
Yeah, you can't talk at him like that.
What did I do?
You said you're perfectly capable of going about doing a whole hour without him, you know?
Yeah, and you go, what did I do? What did I do?
Shut up. All I said was we were perfectly capable of going the whole hour without him, and I didn't need him, okay? I didn't attempt to insult him, and I didn't attempt...
Yeah? Yeah? I mean, I'm back here. I'm trying to give you a break so you don't have to do a full hour on WikiLeaks and that movie.
Don't worry about it, Bob. We've got that under control if that's what we have to do.
All right, fine. Thank you very much.
If he calls back, I don't want him back on the air. Do you understand?
Yeah, but Mr. Hall...
Mr. Hall is only going to call if you call him.
Yeah, but I've got to.
Why do you have to call him?
Because he told me to call him every time something bad goes and something bad happens.
Well, what's bad about this?
You had a guest that was going to be on a show, and here he is again.
You know what, Bob? I don't want to talk to you, okay?
You're going to have to talk to me.
There, how do you like that? I just hung up on him.
Okay, that's fine, but I still got to call Mr. Hall.
You got to call Mr. Hall, why?
Because you told me to call him. Mr. Hall.
Boy, you know something, Bud? Every time I ask you to get somebody on the phone, it takes you forever, but you got Hall on speed dial, man.
Hey, what's going on?
I don't know. Ask Bud.
I did, and he said that you essentially hung up on this guy, Green, who's a sponsor, and I got, put your legs down, will you, honey? I got Daphne is here. She's got her feet up because she's got a blood clot, phlebitis.
Phlebitis, okay.
Well, can you have a little more compassion?
You know, phlebitis is something that generally older people get. It's generally something that has to do with circulation, and frankly, it's generally something that has to do with poor circulation. And Daphne and her donuts, you know...
Oh, no, not Daphne and her donuts, all right?
Do you guys want to pull it over Daphne and her donuts, and whether or not a guy has a voice like a woman or a frog, or do you want to get to the point?
Well, that's my thing. That's why I called up. Isn't that what you guys are going to be talking about this hour?
What?
You're going to talk about whether this motorcycle thing was because of these rice burners, or...
I asked Bud not to use the term rice burner.
All right, well, I don't know. Is he saying rice burner?
Yeah.
All right, well, what's wrong with that?
Because I don't want him to use rice burner. I don't want it to be about the kind of motorcycles these guys are using. I want it to be about whether or not this group of people, is that him?
I want to jump in here. This is Bob Green. David, how are you?
I'm fine.
I was on the air, and I was all ready to talk about this situation.
All right, hold on. Everybody hold on, because now I got to take a break.
Oh, boy, you are really... Now they're going to be doubly pissed.
Yeah, I told you.
I got it under control, okay? I got it under control. I have it under control. Are they still on hold?
No, they hung up.
Great. That's fine with me. If they hang up, that's fine with me. One of the things that I can't get through to you, Bud, is that when I decide I want to do something, you don't have to put them back on the air.
What about Mr. Hall?
You don't have to put him back on the air.
Well, what about Bob Green?
He doesn't have to put him back on the air either.
What if they both call together? Are you kidding or something, man?
Yeah, there you go, the magic words. Are you kidding or something? We'll be right back here on the Phil Henry Show. Don't worry about what either one of those guys wants to do. Only worry about one thing, Bud, what I want to do. The things that I want to do. The things that I want to accomplish. The places that I want to go. The people that I want to see. Okay?
Yeah, it's all about you.
As a matter of fact, yes, it is all about me, because it's my show. Okay? God! We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Phil, this is Bob Green. I called back.
Get Jim out of there, will you? We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We may be talking about motorcycles. We may be talking about a guy's voice sounding like a frog or a woman's. Or we may be talking about Daphne having phlebitis, even though she's only 29, with her big, fat, thick ankles. I don't know. I don't care. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. With me is Robert Green, and David G. Hall is back on the line with us, so that's fine. I mean, I got no problem with any of this. If you guys want to be on the air, that's fine. If we want to continue with the report that we were going to do, Bob, but I'm not going to have you guys continually hanging up, okay?
Phil, let me say something. This is David G. Hall, and as you know, I don't like coming on this program. I've got a girlfriend who is my fiancé and who is suffering from a phlebitis. What you said toward the break I thought was unnecessary when you referred to her weight.
I was talking about circulation, all right?
It's got nothing to do with anything. It's got nothing to do with anything. I want to jump on here, David. This is Bob Green, and echo what you're saying. I know that there have been incidences where she's come on the show or you've had her on where there's the discussion of donuts.
All right, look, guys, you know, you have some idea that you get to take over this show. You don't. I'll hang the phone up and we'll move on. We've got other guests. Margaret is going to talk about the WikiLeaks movie. I can go forward on this motorcycle topic with Bud alone. I don't need you guys. I don't need you, David, and I don't need you, Bob. Okay? I couldn't be more offensive and more direct.
Well, I don't know about you. Are you going to hang up?
No, I'm going to stick around because I don't want this topic...
I'm hanging up because I am, I'm offended.
I guess he got hung up on?
Yeah, he did. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm not doing anything. I didn't do anything bad.
You didn't do anything bad.
All I was trying to do was talk about, if you want me to say rice burner.
I don't want you to say rice burner.
I didn't do anything wrong.
All right, that's fine, Bob. We're talking with Robert Green. He's the CEO of Fraser Foods. And we're discussing a situation that has developed over the last few days. It's getting more involved and, quite frankly, a little more disturbing. What started out as apparently a hit and run or some kind of an altercation between a motorist and a motorcyclist turned into an all-out assault on the motorist by members of this group of this pack, if you will, of motorcyclists. Now we have a police detective who has been arrested, who has been charged with being involved in this pack. His name is Wojciech Bruchak. He's 32, and apparently he was initially charged with riot and criminal mischief when he was arrested on Tuesday, but at his arraignment on Wednesday, prosecutors said his actions warrant harsher charges. He's been suspended from the police without pay. He's been charged with gang assault and assault, regular assault.
But what's the difference?
Yeah, what do they mean, gang assault and regular assault?
Well, one is an organized gang assault, which I think has to do with... I think everybody in the mob can be charged equally, whether or not anyone witnessed, per se, an individual emerging in this incident. Photos were viewed on Wednesday. Several activists from the Occupy Wall Street movement identified Detective Brushock as a man that they knew as Al, a fixture at Zuccotti Park during the protest. There, they said they suspected he was monitoring a movement undercover. Now, in a video of the assault viewed by authorities but not made public, Detective Brushock was off duty and wearing motorcycle gloves. He's seen breaking the rear view mirror, or the rear window, rather, of Mr. Leon's car. It was a Rover that he was in. And he was attacked, as you know, if you've been following the story, by this group of people after they had felt he had run into one of their number. And the rest of them set upon Mr. Alexian Leon and his wife, Rosalind, and their two-year-old daughter, these were passengers in the car, terrorizing the rest of the driver's family, according to authorities, the prosecutor, Samantha Torino. His client was, according to the attorney for the detective, was more than 12 feet from the car during the assault and never came into contact with the man. However, nobody's denying that the guy was there. So, Bob, what's your comment on all of this?
Well, first of all, I think it's the partial description you gave there. What this was a guy that had run over somebody and did run over someone. Apparently, after the initial contact, he ran this guy over. And apparently this guy could be possibly paralyzed. I don't know what the end result is.
This is one of the motorcyclists?
Yeah, there's a guy who got hit the first time, and that guy got hit on the second time.
Yeah, there was a guy that got hit as he was leaving. Now, I don't want to get into a whole discussion on who's right and who's wrong. I'm going to tell you something, though. I ride with a group of friends. And we enjoy riding. I don't think it should be understood that we're a group of people that I've heard you say, Phil, that some of these weekend riders, like who are on some of what you call these rice rockets or weekend warriors, this kind of a thing. That may be the case. That is not the case with myself or the people that I ride with. We are law-abiding, and we are respectful people. But I don't think you want to get too, I don't think you want to get too high on your horse around us, because if we have to, we can really bring some damage. That's all I want to say about that.
Hold on for a minute, okay?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about, what do you mean? That's all I really want to, I'm just saying.
Hold on. You can bring some damage.
I don't mean damage in the way that you're thinking. I'm just saying, if I were you or anybody that wanted to mess with me and my friends when we ride on a Sunday, I would think again. Because, yes, we'll call the cops, but there is a time of, there's a period of time between when you call the cops and when they get there. And let me put it to you this way. We know how to fill up that time.
Okay, Bob, what you're basically saying is you physically assault people.
No, I did not say that.
Yeah, you did. Said you're going to get all badass.
I didn't say that. I said if somebody attacks me and my friends and...
How many guys ride with you, if you don't mind me asking?
Enough.
Well, okay, what does that mean?
What mean enough?
Hey, excuse me, Mr. Dick, but I'm talking to Mr. Henry. I hear you in the background, and it disturbs me, okay?
Hey.
Well, what does it mean, enough?
Enough.
Tell me how many people, or unless you're afraid to.
No. There's nothing having to do with any fear when it comes to myself and my friends. When we hit the road and we go out and we ride to feel the wind in our hair and to enjoy freedom for the first time in a week, because we've got these button-down jobs, I would suggest that people get out of our way. I'm not saying that we attack people. We're law-abiding citizens. That's all I'm saying.
Who are some of the guys that ride with you?
You know a couple of the guys. We've got Ralph Jacobs, who works at one of the other, I can't mention this, he's an accountant. We've got three accountants. We've got an attorney and other guys.
And other guys that really bring it and really are badass, huh?
You know, Phil...
Well, Bob, that's what you're saying. You're saying that you're out on the weekend, and you're riding your bike, and you're all badass. Isn't that what you're saying?
I'm saying that if you think you're going to bump one of us, I would not suggest it. I would not suggest it, because I've got a hair trigger temper, and I have... You can ask anyone. I've gone wild on people.
Have you ever been charged with a crime?
I'd rather not say.
Have you ever been charged with assault?
I'd rather not say.
Okay, that's neither a yes nor a no.
Well, if I say to you, I'd rather not say, you should read that to mean yes.
What do you mean?
Yeah, what do you mean?
What are you talking about, Bob? Have you been charged with a crime?
I'd rather not say. Now, what does that mean to you?
It means you'd rather not say?
It means that I'm hiding...
Are you... Bob, I'm not... You know, I can't...
Cat got your tongue? You asked me if I've been charged with a crime.
Yes.
I'd rather not say. What does that mean?
It means you'd rather not say.
It means you... Are you saying that you... Yes, you have, but you don't want to say it?
I'd rather not say.
Okay. Hold the line, Bob, while we get into another commercial break. This code that's going on since the beginning of the show better end here, okay?
No, but nobody's doing it but him. Yeah, I tried to tell a guy to cut it out.
Well, then you better try telling him a little bit harder. Have you been charged with a crime, Bob? I'd rather not say. Oh, okay, then you haven't been charged with a crime? No, I'd just rather not say. Well, have you? I'd rather not say.
Well, it's clear to me that he wants us to think that he has.
Okay. But that doesn't mean that he has, you know.
Yeah, I can call up. You want me to call up Beanman?
Beanman? Who the hell is he? Call up Jay Santos. Hasn't he got a...
I think he does, yeah.
Call up Jay Santos. He can. He's got a friend. He's got a mole, I think, at the California Highway Patrol. We can find out if Bob has ever actually... No, you better not, because I don't want to get in trouble.
Well, don't start pussying.
Watch it, will you? All right, we're going to be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bob Green on the line with us. Bob is in Buena Park, California. We're talking with David G. Hall concerning the some of the questions that I guess we're asking Bob, and we've gotten way off the mark. David is not back on the line, is he?
No.
Well, I talked to David earlier, and he was simply asking if you'd hung up on Bob. He wanted to make sure that you hadn't hung up on Bob.
I will hang up on anybody I feel like hanging. I don't know if... Anyway, Bob, you're there, and we're good, right?
Yeah, we're good, Phil. I just wanted to make sure that that we got the respect that we deserve, because you're talking about those of us that ride and those of us that demand, or not demand, but we would like respect, and for the road angels and I'm not saying we have a
the Road Angels.
Well,
what is this? Is this a club?
No, it's not a. It's what we call ourselves, and we do ride.
You realize that you put yourself up for all kinds of ridicule when you call yourself the Road Angels, and
no, Phil, I'm not trying to say we're the Hell's Angels. I'm simply saying that we go our own way, and
yeah, but the Hell's Angels came on you. What did you do then?
If the Hell's Angels did what?
If you had an encounter with a 1%, you know, with one of these clubs that doesn't necessarily call the cops, like you were saying.
Well, that's who we are. We're not going to have a fight with them, because we have the same philosophy as them.
Except you go back to your job as the CEO of a grocery store chain, and there's three guys that are accountants, and there's another guy that's a lawyer. You guys are far from living the life of outlaw bikers. Let me go to a phone call, though.
That's really, Phil, if you know what you're talking about, then you can talk, okay? Have you lived the life, you know... Phil, I doubt seriously. I know you're not a road angel because...
No, I'm not a road angel, and I don't have a motorcycle. Let me go to a guy named Gene here. Gene is calling us from Bakersfield, California tonight. Gene, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with Bob Green. Hello.
Yeah, my name is Gene, and I'm calling from Bakersfield. I'm the chapter president up here of Roadkill, and I can tell you that I've never heard of the Road Angels or any other club by that name. I can tell you that we don't look for trouble, but we certainly do take care of ourselves in trouble arise. And the guy you got on the phone right now sounds like a typical weekend warrior. I don't think he's probably ridden a bike much more than a few months. And to me and people like myself, we don't go looking for problems, you know, at all.
Let me ask you something, Gene. This is Bob Green. I mean, if you, and I don't mean anything. I'm not trying to start anything. But if you piss me off, you know that I'm going to have to make a statement.
You can make any statement you want, my friend. So long as you're okay with the fact that you ain't going to walk away from it, and your family's okay with that.
Well, okay. You heard him, Gene. That's a threat.
No, it isn't. It's not a threat.
Why is that not a threat?
Well, let me tell you, I didn't threaten you. All I said was, if you want to, if you want to make a statement, I'm going to defend myself, and you ain't going to walk away from that. That's a guarantee.
Okay. You understand there's a code of the road, don't you?
Look, Bob, let me just interrupt here, okay?
Whoa. There's a code of the road, right?
No, I don't know any code of the road, no.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm an outlaw. I'm not an outlaw because I do have
I heard you got a grocery chain of some kind.
Yeah, that's right. I have a grocery chain. But I can tell you that I'm not just going to stand there and watch you.
My friend, you're going to stand there and watch me do anything I want to do. I'll do anything that I want to do to you, and you will stand there and watch it, or you will be the recipient of it. Doesn't make any difference to me. But that's a guarantee. And
because we call ourselves the Road Angels?
Because you call yourself the Road Angels doesn't make any difference to me. It's what you think you are. And if you're going to run afoul of my club when we're out riding or whatever it is we're doing, you think you're going to make a statement, as you put it. You can make any statement you want. You ain't going to walk away from that. That's all I'm saying.
Well, the name of your club is Roadkill. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I mean, that means that you're comparing yourselves to an animal.
I'm not going to talk with you much longer because I don't really like talking on the telephone or on these shows, but I'm just telling you what I told the guy to answer the phone.
Well, all right, but I just think that we would be deserving of respect.
What makes you think you're deserving of respect, Bob?
What makes me think I'm deserving of respect?
Yeah, he ain't deserving of real respect. You haven't said anything that would make you deserving of respect. You talk about being a road angel. I mean, that's just a few letters away from Road Apple.
Road Apple! Some kind of outlaw humor?
I think that's pretty funny, though. But you know what, man? I ain't going to talk to you much longer. You want to make your statement, go right ahead,
Are you at a carnival? Because I can hear a carnival behind you.
Oh, that's your carnival, man. I'm not at a carnival. I'm watching TV right now.
You're not at a carnival.
No, I'm not at a carnival.
Because if you were at a carnival...
All right, fine. Thank you very much, Gene, for your call. Our number is 855-500-7445. So there you have a guy who, it sounds to me like he's an actual, he may be a part of a club that's an actual so-called 1% club. What do you think of that?
I'm not impressed. I mean, the Road Angels.
What are you talking about, a Road Angel, man? Do you think you're like a biker or something?
No, I don't think I'm a biker. I am a biker.
All right, you can make fun of the kid, but you obviously heard that guy. He said you can bring it anytime you want. Bob, are you out there trying to cause problems on the weekends with your motorcycle and your, your lifestyle?
With my motorcycle and my lifestyle. Where do I begin with describing the disrespect that you just gave me, Phil? The Road Angels.
Will you knock it off with the Road Angels? Bob, I don't think it does you any good talking about the Road Angels. All right.
Why is that?
Because it doesn't sound very threatening or formidable.
Yeah, you sound like the guy said, like a road apple.
See, that was, if he'd said that to my face. If he'd said that to my face.
If he'd said what to your face?
If he said that my club was called the Road Apples instead of the Road Angels, then we'd have a problem.
Oh, really? Well, you heard what the guy said. You can step up to the plate or, you know.
No, he said that if I wanted to make a statement, he said I could. And
yeah, he said that you could because he'd deal with that. Is that him?
Yeah.
I don't, if that's the guy, I don't want to talk to him again. I already made the statement. I said that I was going to make the statement.
Yeah. Gene, go ahead.
Hey, look at my friend. You make a statement anytime you want, and if and I'll walk right up to you. I'll tell you that your club is called the Road Apples. You look like Road Apples. And probably the bikes you ride, you know, anybody could ride, including a Road Apple. I mean, I bet you anything your bike, probably something that sounds like a sewing machine and would take a, you know, probably a one of those ropes to start a lawnmower with to get it going. So you are a Road Apple, man. Your club is a bunch of Road Apples, and I think that's what you ought to call your club, okay? And if I ever see you out there, I'll just go ahead and take your colors away from you and burn them, man.
Are you saying you're going to patch us over to be members of your club?
No, I ain't going to patch you over, man. I said I would take your colors away from you and I would burn them so they couldn't contaminate anybody else. That's all I got to say, because I'm not into talking this guy, but...
Is the gentleman still there?
No, he's not there, Bob. What are you asking for, okay? More trouble?
The Road Apples. That was some serious disrespect.
Bob, are you a criminal?
No, I am not a criminal.
All right, are you a part of any kind of culture that you would consider to be one that, you know, mixes it up in those circles? Because, look, that cat that you just talked to there, he means what he says. And you're on the other end of a telephone. If you go out there and you decide that, how did we get into this? I thought we were talking about...
You gotta talk about the guys on the bikers and everything.
We were talking about, you were the guy that started in with the rice burners. Okay, and I do ride a rice burner or a Japanese bike, and I'm just saying that if a guy in a car tries to run me off the road or messes with one of my friends, then we have to, stomp. Well, it's not called. I guess it would be stomping him.
Yeah, you're gonna have to stomp him. Okay, Bob, very best of luck to you.
Oh yeah. So you're gonna let this guy say what he wants to say?
No, I'm just telling you that anybody on a motorcycle, whether or not you're part of the Road Angels, or Roadkill, or whoever.
Yeah, the Road Apples. That's the name of the club.
That's not the name of my club. My club is.
You do have a club, or do you have five guys?
We have a chapter.
Where's your chapter?
Our chapter's in Newport Beach.
Oh, wow, that's,
Newport Beach, yeah, you mind? Yeah.
Why don't you shut up, Dick, but we have a chapter in Newport Beach.
Really? And where's the clubhouse?
It's right now, it's at the Newport Beach Yacht Club, but,
Oh, my God.
No, Phil, you don't understand.
No, I understand perfectly. So the Road Apples, I'm sorry, the Road Angels.
Yes, you call me the Road Apples. And,
tell Phil you're going to kick his ass, he said Road Apple.
I would not kick Phil's ass, but he would be menaced by me.
What does that mean, menaced?
Forget it. You people are, if I see any of you, I will stomp you.
Okay, there's Bob Green, obviously some sort of alcohol intake tonight. I can only imagine. Where did he say, Robert?
Dude, gonna go on the Arches.
Oh, if he was at Archie's, he was probably bellying up to the bar and pouring the bourbon down real early. Because that, to me, sounded like a guy that's not in touch with reality. The Road Angels. Well, in any event, what's your read on this, bud?
Well, I mean, these guys surrounded the car and everything sound like an idiot.
And that police officer was part of them. So what started out as something that might have had the sympathy of people, because apparently this man... There was some collision with one of the people on the motorcycle. The result...
Well, the result sounds like overkill.
Exactly. There was far, far too much so-called retribution.
I mean, but I don't know. I mean, I read something that was really disturbing about someone being partially paralyzed or possibly paralyzed, and that is really ugly. But the answer is not to go out there and form your club called the Road Angels, of which there are only five of you, and your clubhouse is a room at the Newport Beach Yacht Club. Ain't gonna happen. All right, we'll be back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Margaret Gray with the report to come on the new movie called Fifth Estate, and Benedict Cumberbatch is, and I realize we've got a lot of names here that are strictly out of a club called the Road Apples.
Deputy President Road Apple, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Take it easy. Benedict Cumberbatch and Julian Assange.
Oh, there's some badasses.
Anyway, we'll be talking about the communication that these two men have had. Mr. Cumberbatch, the star of the movie, and, well, you know who Julian Assange is, and we'll find out what they talked about and more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com every night here till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. News Talk and Entertainment knows what we're talking about. Truth is our bitch. There's radio, and then there's the Phil Henry Show. And, man, I tell you what, well, there's talk radio, and there's the Phil Henry Show, and I hope they never, ever, ever have anything to do with each other.
And tomorrow you're going to be addressing a group of programmers and air talent and other people at the Talkers Seminar in Los Angeles with an attitude like that.
Yeah, you had get it cleaned up.
Well, there's nothing to clean up. Oh, come on. I'm just having a little bit of sport. I am having a little bit of sport. I'm not saying anything bad. I'm saying, look, let's all kick ass, okay? Let's get our heads out of the traditional mindset. I think that that's the way to go in business, no matter what business you're in right now. I think today's the day. These are the times to think creatively, to really bust out and do something different. This is not the time to play it safe. You play it safe, you're going to get lost. Lost in the shuffle. These are the times that try men's souls. Yes.
Never like Shakespeare?
I don't know.
Sound like it.
In any event, these are the times when you ought to take a chance, try something new. If you got a business you want to start, now's the time to start it. Quit screwing around and quit worrying about what the government did this and the guy did that and something else, okay?
Well, now you're giving your big speech, but there's a lot of people, Phil, that don't have the resources that you have.
What are you talking about? Everybody has their own resources. Everyone has their way of making their way in this world. What do you mean resources?
Talk about money, Mr. Henry.
Yes. We're talking about the good old-fashioned American dollar. And what they're going to do-woo...
What is it with the do-woo? Why do you say that?
I'm emphasizing a point.
Yeah, that's what she does.
Thank you, bud.
Okay.
Well, now I forgot what I was saying.
You're saying that now's the time for people to play it safe? Is that what you're saying?
No, but I am saying that not everyone has...
I think, I don't care who you are listening to me right now, this is the time to go out and push the walls, the bounds of your universe out and begin to take those chances. This is it, okay? There's no time like the present, man. You know, if you hang around long enough, I swear to God, hang around on Facebook long enough or Twitter or any of these places, social media in this country, hang around there and read what people write, and you come away with, yeah, sure, there's the odd person who's got something that's rather bold to say, but most of what you are reading is coming from people that are nothing more than pincushions. They're just people that are taking these jabs and taking these sword stabs and they're taking these assaults, and that's what you're reading. You're reading people who are posting comments about this crap that they had to go through and that crap that they had to go through, and here's something else that happened to them, and here's something else that happened to them, and here's why their kid is this and that, you know.
Well, because that's Phil. I mean, this is not some Robin Hood movie.
Look at Morgan. I'm not saying, you know.
Well, Mr. Henry, you ought to be able to take a difference of opinion, not get all wigged out and everything. Yeah, you looked like you balled your fist up and wanted a belter.
I didn't ball my fist up.
Well, you did, Margaret.
Yes, I ball. I always ball my fist up. I do it when I get angry at my son. What's the big deal?
Because you have smacked your son.
Not with a... How dare you? Not with a fist. I backhanded my son with a 3-carat stone sticking out.
You see, you don't want to say why.
No, I'll say why, because I wanted to make sure it left an impression on the boy.
You would call the cops, it would have been trouble.
No.
Well, Margaret, if the cops came over and saw a 3-carat stone impression on Jason J. Delmonico's face, they would have arrested you.
They would have arrested me for what?
For assault.
I backhanded that boy after he wouldn't shut up. So if I talk... You know, I'm not going to discuss this with you. How dare you? You've got And with Dickman sitting there leering at me? No way.
I'm not leering at you.
Well, then what's this face you're giving me, like, ee? What is that?
What face?
What's he doing?
He's sitting there going like this. You see what I'm doing? Look in the mirror.
I'm looking at your face.
I know, but look in the mirror. Now, what? You're doing this. You're looking at me with your finger. What is that?
It's gum.
Bud, either chew the gum or throw it away. Don't have it sticking on your finger.
Sorry.
And you're like this. You're going... It's almost the face of a Class A Level 1 imbecile, which is what they used to call them.
A Class A Level 1 imbecile.
That's right, Phil, and I know that you're repeating it to make sure that everybody out there thinks that I'm about 100 yards of turd. Well, I'm not. I'm a mother and...
Margaret, I'm not trying to get you into any problem that you haven't already gotten yourself into. I'm just wondering what you mean by...
I'm telling you, look at his kisser. He looks like somebody that ought to be sitting in an alley with a dirt... You know, in the old days, they called him the town drunk. Now he works for you.
But, you know, you can dance all you want around the insults, but you're making fun of Bud because he's a little bit slow, and he doesn't talk like the rest of us. And he's looking at you, trying to figure out what it is you're saying. That's the look on his face when he can't figure stuff out. Right, Bud?
No.
Then why are you leering at her like that?
Because I just want to leer at her, see if it'll freak her out.
That, well, look, why, you dirty... Hey,
watch it.
So you did it on purpose. I'll never forget this as long as I live, Dickman.
God, what is it with you?
Nothing. Just remember what I said.
Everybody with the... since we were talking about motorcycles and payback and... you know, make a statement. Everybody's out here making their statement.
Yeah, well, you want to know something? I don't make statements. I back them up. Some people talk. I do. When I get it, you'll get it. What the hell is so funny?
When I get it, you'll get it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Read it and weep.
All right, so that's the story with the motorcyclists. Coming up, you have this...
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Benedict Cumberbatch. Go ahead, get your laughs out now, because that is his name. He's a very talented actor. He is the star of the new film, Fifth Estate. Doug Danger will be on to talk about the film with me, as well as Jay Santos on the security risks to the United States of America of a film that could very well be a brilliant film, or it could stink the joint out. It's not funny.
Well, what are the security risks to the country if the film does, in point of fact, stink the joint out?
We've got problems. If this movie gets released and it stinks to high heaven, you've still got problems, because good movie, bad movie, it could still contain some secrets or ways that the CIA has of operating. And you get a film out there with Benedict Cumberbatch that's a real smeller, you'll never hear the end of it.
So we'll find out from Margaret and Doug Danger and others. We come back, world famous Phil Henry Show, Benedict Cumberbatch. And apparently he's had some contact with Julian Assange. So we'll find out. There's some kick-ass music there, bud. Anyway, welcome to the final hour here.
Well, it is the final hour. Kind of closing up the old bar here, you know.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Our roadhouse is, you know, the lights are going out on this sucker. Well, we got a full hour to go, man, so we got a lot that's definitely happening. Our radio show, of course, is also online at philhenryshow.com with a video cast, which is out and about right now, so you can check out our video cast and see how we do this, as well as listen to thousands of hours of our radio show, as well as get a daily podcast of our show delivered to your house, as well as get a you know, to your device, as well as get our daily classic podcast, which is a podcast of material from our archive. We have a news feed. We have our online store, which has just gotten in the restocking of our Teds of Beverly Hills t-shirt. Now, we've got a Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie, and we have all of this marvelous material on disc. We have our best of, our classic best of CDs. And these are in the case with, you know, all of the original artwork in case you collect those. And what are we doing with that disc?
That's what I'd like to know, because I've had people ask me, do you have a picture disc? And you do, right?
We do have a picture disc.
Yeah, but we've got to figure out how much you want to charge for it.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's we have a picture disc that we're going to start. We've been talking about selling that picture disc for 2 years now.
You got to figure out if you want to sell it or not. I don't think it'll sell.
Why won't it sell?
Well, nobody has a record player no more.
People collect vinyl, man. Don't you know about that?
Well, they collect the vinyl, but they want to listen to it, don't they?
Yeah, they don't have a record player. Why would they have it?
Because they collect vinyl, man. And this is a picture disc, which means that it's a disc, okay?
Yeah.
And it's got a picture on it.
Instead of what?
Instead of just the black vinyl.
I don't think people know enough about vinyl, you know?
No, I don't know. I think people do know enough about vinyl.
They don't know that it's just... They know it's vinyl, but they think there's pictures on it anyway.
No, there isn't pictures on it anyway.
I know that, but they don't.
Who's they?
The people.
The people listening right now.
God.
So, it's a picture disc, and it's,
Well, don't talk about it now, and...
Okay, well, in any event, it's, you know, go to our website and check out our online store. We'll probably have that picture disc available at some point in the very near future. 855-500-7445 is our number. We also have this month a special. If you get a backstage pass, well, then you are also entitled to a free download from our... Some of our best-of downloads are available. Our downloads in the store, we've got a Ted's of Beverly Hills... We have a Bobby Dooley download. I know we're trying to get together a Margaret download, but...
No, I don't want to have anything to do with anything that's called a download. I don't care.
Margaret.
I don't care. I don't care. I'm a mother and a wife.
Yeah, it's not dirty.
I don't care if it's not dirty. I don't want you on the air every day, especially him, going, oh, Margaret Gray, download, download, load.
No, they're going to say that.
Margaret, you know, it takes a particular kind of mind to think of the things that you're thinking of.
What am I thinking of?
What do you mean you don't want your name associated with... Is Doug Danger there? Let's get Doug in on this. Doug, how you doing?
I'm doing real good. Margaret, I don't think you have to worry about that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I've looked into this.
You know, Doug, you being gay has nothing to do with whether I want to say download or have my name Margaret Gray Download. Is there a picture of me?
I guess, yeah.
Am I on my back?
No, man. It's not that kind of thing.
It isn't that kind of thing. What do you mean, are you on your back?
I don't want me laying there in a photograph that's seductive, and then Margaret Gray load, you know?
Ew! God! That would be grotesque!
You really are begging for it, aren't you?
Hey!
Watch it.
I'll give you $300.
Hey, watch it, will you, Margaret?
Well, I don't like him mouthing off when I'm trying to make a point.
Margaret, look at this Doug Danger.
And let me guess, you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
Man, what got into you?
Yeah, what is with you?
Well, I'm... Never mind.
Margaret, there's nobody's going to have a picture of you if I understand what a... And I think I do understand what a download is. You know, as a gay man, as a gay journalist.
See, that's just it. You're a gay man and a gay journalist. You don't understand how a woman feels... When someone uses her name to get their cheap kicks.
Margaret, a download is when...
No, I know what it is. It has to do with the load from the internet.
Yeah, it's you're downloading something from the internet.
I understand that.
And you still don't like it.
Margaret, I don't think anybody thinks in terms of anything other than it's something they can get from the internet, something they can get from another website... They're downloading something.
And what is an upload? I heard you saying that.
The upload is when we are uploading something to the site. In other words, we have things on the website that people can get. That's called downloading it. People are downloading audio. The upload is when we put it there.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean, yeah? You didn't say anything. So it's...
It's got nothing to do with anything. As a wife and as a mother... Look, you're a wife and a mother. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. All right.
Yes, but I'm a wife and a... You said gay man and gay... You're a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm a wife and a mother.
All right. And I can assure you, from what I understand of the business, and I think I've got a fair grasp of it, no one is going to have a photograph of you seductively laying... Where would she be laying, Phil?
We're not going to have a picture of her laying anywhere. We'll probably have just a picture of you, Margaret, a very nice, you know, portrait shot, something that you use when you're promoting your club dates.
Well, the club dates are a disaster. You know that as well as I do.
I know that you haven't gotten good turnout. I don't know anything more about that.
Well, she's playing places like you played the Toad Room.
The Toad Room, Frank is the one that's booking me into these places. And I said to Frank, I said, you know something, Frank? I don't know whether you want to live to see your 80th birthday. He's 72 now. He's in great health. But I said, do you want to live to see your 80th birthday? He says, yes. I said, then why would you keep booking me in places that will only serve to inflame my emotions more so that when I come home and I see you sleeping and there's an opportunity to... Never mind.
To strangle is what you mean.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
None of your business.
Well, if you're talking about asphyxiating him in his sleep...
Believe me, he'd die with a smile on his face.
Oh, my God. I mean,
Believe me.
Oh, my God. I think I know what you're talking about. You're talking about... Oh, God.
Don't say anything if you're... You know, I would never do this, but there's a lot of women who've been involved in euthanizing their husbands in a humane way. And I think you understand what I'm talking about.
You know, a minute ago, you didn't want anything having to do with the word load next to your face. Okay?
I didn't say next to my face.
Yeah, but that was kind of what you were saying, Margaret.
I didn't say that, though. All right.
A minute ago, you didn't want to have that. Now you're talking about a humane euthanizing of Frank with him dying with a smile on his face.
Yeah, I think I know y'all. You talk about... Oh, man. You talk about the squat.
Did I say the squat?
Well, that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
I'm saying that the squat is an option.
Holy jeez.
What is the squat? Does somebody want to tell me?
I don't think...
Well, what are you, all of a sudden a child? You've never heard of the squat.
What is the squat? Is this a way that you smother your husband?
Yes.
Three guesses.
Boy, you are, you know...
That's what I'm trying to tell you, man. You know, you can't... Margaret, you worry about these things, and there you are.
I'm not coming out and spelling it out the way the word... Did I say take a picture of me? Hi, I'm Margaret Gray, and I'm going to euthanize my husband by parking it on his... I'm going to get up and take a walk out to the parking lot and get that box of Dutch Masters, and when I come back, you all better be talking about something different.
Don't tell me what to do.
You heard what I said.
You know, Phil, I tell you what, let's help you out here. I can get into a discussion, preliminary discussion here about the movie... Fifth Estate.
Hold on for just a minute. Where did I get lost in that conversation? You guys want to help me with this?
Well, she's talking about how she didn't want to have download on her face.
Yeah, no, I heard that, and this discussion is far filthier than anything that could possibly have been done with regard to a CD or a disc or anything. Margaret says that she doesn't want her, a best of, she doesn't want her face anywhere near the word download, right?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Now, all of a sudden, we're talking about the squat and a...
Well, as long as you laugh, you take the moral high road away from yourself. The moral high ground, Phil, has been surrendered, and...
Oh, shut up, Doug, will you, for 5 seconds? The moral high ground.
Well, why don't you talk about the squat?
Hey, I don't want to talk about the squat, man. All I know is I heard something about humanely euthanizing men over 70.
Yeah?
Well, and then she said parking it, and that's the last I heard. Now she's out smoking a White Owl.
No, like a Dutch Master.
Or a Dutch Master. I don't know, that woman, you know, Margaret, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, because you never miss a thing, I admire you. I mean, on the one hand, you're talking about some of the most, some of the strangest sexual activity I've ever heard of. On the other hand, you're out there in the parking lot smoking a White Owl cigar, which is about the nastiest smelling turd that you could possibly light up. And then the next minute...
Well, you gotta talk about being on at the Toad Room.
The Toad Room. Well, boy, I can't wait to hear that. All right, we're going to come back here on the Phil Hendry Show, 855-500-7445. And online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. We'll be back. We have Doug Danger hanging on. He's going to be discussing with us this film called Fifth Estate. You guys have probably heard of it. A very, very talented actor by the name of Benedict Cumberbatch plays Julian Assange, the WikiLeaks founder and the guy that's spreading all that stuff around the internet. Apparently, Assange and he have had conversations. Assange didn't want him to do the movie. And Cumberpatch went ahead and did the movie. And Cumberpatch, by the way, has a name like a character out of a Harry Potter...
Harry Potter!
Novel. Hey, welcome back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have Doug Danger hanging out here. We're going to talk about the film... Fifth Estate. Margaret Gray is back in studio. You all right, Margaret?
I'm fine. I said I didn't like the idea of you guys talking about if a woman wants to put her husband out of his misery and she wants to do it.
Not wearing underwear.
Okay, that does.
Whoa. Bud, watch out with the smart mouth, okay?
I'm on edge.
Yeah, you're. That's not the only thing you'd be on. You'd be on Frank's nose. Oh!
What? Hey!
You see that? See these hands? You don't think I can't kill you?
What do you get so upset for?
I don't want that thing. Look at it.
Yeah.
Watch the smart mouth, okay? She's on edge. And then the next thing you say is, yeah, that's not the only thing you're going to be on.
Yeah, it's all about Frank's nose.
Oh, that's great, Phil. Now they repeated it very clearly for the audience. Screw it. You know that box of White Owls? I'm smoking that, too.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You got to be in here because I got... Where's she going?
I'm going to the toilet. Take a cigarette break.
All right, Doug Danger is on the line with us. Doug, while we wait for Margaret, you wanted to make a comment on this motorcycle thing?
I think you have to understand something, Phil. As a gay man's gay journalist, I do a little bit more studying than the average journalist. I do a little bit more studying than the average person. I have to, because I've lived in a world of prejudice. I've lived in a world of repression. And I've lived in a world of bigotry. So I have to look a little bit more clearly than other people, because I got to look and see where the obstacles in the road are ahead.
Okay, fine. Can you get to the...
I'm getting to it, man. So I'm saying to you, first of all, from what I know about the world of quote-unquote bikers, what those guys on their little motorcycles did to that man is frowned on. You do not attack a man in front of his wife and kid. That at least is the code among long-time 1% motorcyclists, outlaw bikers, people who have, you know, really made the road their life for a long time. I'm just talking about the traditional code of a group of bikers that may or may not take this kind of an action. You don't attack a man in front of his wife and kids. That's rule number one. Number two is you're not all over the road like these idiots. A lot of these people, I think I heard you guys using the term rice rocket. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I know a lot about this. Didn't you guys use the word rice rocket?
I did.
Bud did, and I did too.
All right, a lot of these guys on these rice rockets don't know the first thing about riding in a pack. They don't know how to ride in an organized uniform formation. Most of clubs know that they've got a road captain. You ride to the right or to the left, depending upon the club, of that captain, and you ride in a uniform way. If one of you gets pulled over, then the whole club gets pulled over, or whoever's out on the run. All right, so that was mistake number two that they made. And certainly, like I said, the attack on this man in front of his wife and kid would be completely frowned on. There was a story, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, there was a story having to do with a Montreal Hells Angel, or an associate, excuse me, it wasn't a Hells Angel, it was an associate of the Montreal club, that apparently, and this is just the rumor, but apparently this guy was involved in a bombing that took the life of an 11-year-old kid.
Good Lord.
Yeah, but guess what? That associate ain't around anymore. He was subsequently erased from the equation, and some people speculate that might have had to do with the fact that this guy had carried out some kind of action that took the life of this child. So understand that what happened, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I don't hear you guys acknowledging that.
Yes, we know you're gay, okay?
I'm here. I heard you in the bathroom.
All right. Well, then, when I say I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, could you say, oh, yeah, okay, you know?
Yeah, but you've been saying it ever since you've been on the show.
I know that, Dick, but I'm talking about now for the group of the people, the audience of the people that are... I'm saying it for the audience of the people of the group of the ones that are listening right now. I know that sounded stupid.
Yes, it did. Do you mean for the group of people that are listening now?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Would you just...
You're a gay man and a gay journalist. Yes, great. Fantastic, Doug.
Don't say it was sarcasm either.
Okay, you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
You don't have to say that. I said that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
What do I say?
I don't know. Say like, if I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, oh, that's. All right, here goes. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Boy, that sucked. That really...
Come on, Doug. I don't have all day to go through some indoctrination into etiquette. You've been on this program for years. I know you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
Well, a lot of people don't, okay, my friend? And until everybody gets the message that I'm gay, and then I'm out here on the edge, man, working to improve the lot in life of everybody, regardless of their sexual orientation, regardless of, and I just educated you on what you're supposed to do as a biker, and the first thing you don't do is beat up a guy in front of his wife and kids, and I'm gay. Who told you that from the straight world?
I could have read it in a newspaper. I was just reading that, in fact, in this interview with George Christie. How did you find it out?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? And
oh, Doug, would you stop already? We get it. So you just absorbed that information?
I'm just telling you, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now, you're a journalist.
Yes, I am a journalist, and I'm...
All right, hold on for a minute. I want to get to this movie. The movie is called Fifth Estate. It stars Benedict Cumberbatch. For those of you who don't know who he is, or maybe you don't recognize the name, he's an outstanding actor. The first time I saw him was in the film Atonement. He had a very small part in Atonement.
Excuse me, I'm not supposed to be on the phone, am I?
No, you're not. I'm supposed to be on it.
Yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be.
All right, he was in Atonement.
Yes, he was in Atonement. Very, very, very small part. And then I saw him...
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I keep going on the phone here. Get out of the phone. This is my phone.
What an ass. I'm out of your phone. Does that feel better?
Yes, it does.
He was in Atonement. What did he play in Atonement?
I don't forget the character. He was a guy that had a relationship with the redheaded girl. You remember the redheaded girl? Sort of,
oh, that filthy little slut, yes.
Well, whatever.
No, that's exactly what she was.
I didn't see the movie with the filthy slut.
Well, but it wasn't the kind of sex movie that, in any event. There's a scene in that film where the camera suddenly catches Benedict Cumberbatch having sex with the girl, and his ass, I was offended by it.
Now I know the scene, yeah. Suddenly, the hero of the film, I forget who was in the movie.
I remember it, yeah.
Yeah, they the light goes on or something, and there you see Cumberbatch with his ass up in the air, and I don't know if that was really his ass, you know.
Well, I don't want to be funny, but I've heard them say they use stunt asses.
Stunt ass? What does that mean?
Somebody else's ass.
Well, why would they do that?
Because the actor doesn't want to be in the scene. I mean, you know, they don't need the actor's face. Anyway, so Benedict Cumberbatch was in Atonement. Then I saw him in Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Yes.
And then I saw him in Star Trek. Star Trek Insurrection or something. So he's been in front of us in one way or another as an actor. Now he's in this film entitled Fifth Estate. We'll be back with Margaret and Doug Danger as they give us the lowdown on this film, including some of the conversations that have been had, if you will, by Mr. Cumberbatch and by Mr. Assanjay ahead of the shooting of this film. Apparently, Assanjay didn't want him to do the movie, you know.
Well, is he trying to tell him, you're going to be hurt or something like that?
I don't know if he told him that.
No, but I think the understanding was that Assanjay really wanted to let this man Cumberbatch know that by being in the film, he was engaged in he was taking part in a piece of propaganda that was very wrong.
Well, anyway, I mean, that would make me want to do the movie. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Be right back. Woo! Sorry, it's all me, baby. I apologize, Matt. I had Matt. We're doing technical stuff, you know.
You guys really got to pull your heads out of your...
Take it easy, Margaret, okay?
You're not allowed to say that.
Well, I'm saying it, all right? You guys got to pull your heads...
Not Matt. That's not Matt's fault. It was me. I was distracting the poor guy. And I was talking to him about levels and...
Say, what is it with you anyway, Phil? When I first met you, you were all about doing the show, and you were all about creating.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Stanley, all of a sudden now, you're like some sound engineer.
Well, I mean, I...
Just forget it, man.
Don't tell me to forget it. I can't forget it. I got people that are emailing me and messaging me on Twitter and everywhere else telling me, oh, wow, the level is too hot, this, that. Okay?
I don't care. Pay attention to the show and pay less attention to being Mr. Fix-It. Who are you, Mr. Wizard or something?
Mr. Wizard?
Yes, Mr. Wizard.
Mr. Wizard used,
Never mind.
He used chemicals.
Yeah, Mr. Wizard, didn't he make drugs?
Didn't he make drugs? What a slob you are, Robert. Mr. Wizard was a beautiful guy. He was a beautiful man that made a beautiful dollar in a day and age where...
Mr. Wizard made a beautiful dollar.
I mean, what did he do? Didn't he do the chemicals?
Mr. Wizard was a TV show.
Phil, don't go into a song and a dance. Was he the guy that...
Mr. Wizard did a lot of things. Mr. Wizard did experiments with wind. He did experiments with chemicals. He did a lot of things. He was about physics as well as chemistry.
About biology.
Yes, he didn't open up a frog on TV, did he?
No.
All right, then. He did physics and chemistry.
I don't know, but I mean, he was cool. I mean, every kid watched him on, for those of you who don't know, Mr. Wizard was on Saturday mornings, and the dude would be, you know, this regular guy. He was like a regular guy, and kids would come over, which probably today there'd be someone having a problem with that, like, what are those children doing at that man's house, you know? But I guess this was back in the day when it was normal for kids to go to a guy's house who was much older and, well, I guess...
Yeah, see? That's how those problems started.
Yeah, but that was Mr. Wizard.
I don't care what his name was. I don't care if he was Klondike Fred. It didn't make any difference to me.
So you didn't like Mr. Wizard?
I loved Mr. Wizard. I had a thing for Mr. Wizard. But the facts are these, Phil. First of all, I was a little girl. The facts are these. There was a lot of untoward behavior going on toward children in those days, and Wizard was... Oh, now you're laughing.
Yeah, every time you talk, I'm laughing. Every time you bring something up, I'm laughing. You know?
No, I don't know.
Oh, Wizard was this and Wizard was that. Mr. Wizard did a show for to answer the question and not get into a big, long song and a dance about whether or not the guy was a freaking pervert, which is a terrible thing to say. Mr. Wizard had a show on Saturday morning, and you watch the guy... You know, the joke we made about Mr. Wizard wasn't that he was a pervert. It was that he was a drug dealer.
Oh, ha, 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 ha. That's real funny.
A lot funnier than what you're saying. Doug Danger on the line. You remember Wizard, Doug?
A little bit before my time, Phil, Mr. Wizard. But I heard about Mr. Wizard, and I agree with you, Phil. I think I don't think every single solitary instance of an adult interacting with a child has to be about a suspicious kind of behavior. But these days, you're not going to find kids going over to a strange adult's house.
Well, I'm sure the neighbors knew about Wizard. In other words, they probably said, where are you going? The kid said, I'm going to Wizards. You know.
And I'm going to Wizards. What is that?
Isn't that his name?
His name was Mr. Wizard.
Wizard.
Yeah, but it wasn't really Wizard. It wasn't like his name was Jeff Wizard.
Well, what are you guys talking about then?
Margaret, it was probably a nickname. If the guy really existed, okay, which he didn't.
I know that, but in the teleplay, he did.
Okay. The name Mr. Wizard was probably a nickname. He probably had another name.
Like what?
I don't know like what. He had another name.
Maybe it's like Jeff, you know, Jeff Reingold.
Yeah, how about Jeff Reingold?
Okay, fine. His name was Jeff Reingold. Is that fine?
Well, then what? Then they'd say I'm going over to Reingold's.
Well, they wouldn't say... Yes, they'd probably say I'm going over to Reingold's.
Then what's with the wizard?
That was the nickname the kids gave him. But whether or not they refer to him by his last name, I'm going over to Wizards, they probably would say I'm going over to Mr. Wizards, or they'd say I'm going over to Mr. Reingold's, if these children were raised with any kind of manners. Or they'd say, look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I don't have any kids. I've got a niece and a nephew, and I tell them to call everybody Mr. But if the guy's got a nickname of Mr. Wizard, I'd say it wouldn't matter if I just call him Wizard if you want to. And they'd say, well, should we call him Mr. Wizard?
Doug, I didn't think it was possible to be bored by this topic. You are boring me to tears.
Well, Margaret, you're the one that started this whole asinine conversation about whether he's called Wizard.
All right, are we done?
No, I got one more thing I want to say. If the guy's nickname is Mr. Wizard, I'd say to the kids, call him Wizard. You could call him Wizard. You can call him Hey You. But if they know his name is Rheingold, I seriously doubt if they knew his name was Rheingold.
Well, I don't know where you guys got the name Rheingold.
Okay, are you done now? Well, yes, you are, because I've just made the executive decision that everybody's done. Everyone's done talking about Mr. Wizard and his name Rheingold, or Mr. Rheingold. And what's with that name, anyway?
Well, three guesses, Phil.
Yeah, on account it's German.
On account of it's German. So now you're going to tell me that Wizard...
You're the one that brought it up.
No, I didn't bring it up. No, I didn't.
When was the show on?
The show was on NBC in the 60s, so I'd see where they're going.
Okay, so he was an escaped Nazi war criminal. All right, the Phil Henry Show.
Phil, you said the name was, or somebody said the name was Rheingold.
I said the name was Rheingold because I was thinking of the actor. I wasn't thinking of a Nazi.
All right, let's talk about the movie Fifth Estate, okay? Boy, you guys, I tell you, in 10 minutes you took Mr. Wizard, a beloved TV show for kids in the 60s. He's an escaped Nazi war criminal. He's a pervert. His name's Wizard. No, it's Rheingold.
I didn't say escaped. I'm sure if he was here in the United States, he can...
All right, I'm all done talking about it, okay?
But she's going to say the Odessa.
Yes.
Okay, great. He came over in the Odessa. So we've... forget it. Never mind.
What are you doing, Phil?
Phil, where are you going? Phil, where are you going? What do I do?
You gotta do it.
Hello, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray, and Phil he's taking care of some things. Let's go to Doug Danger. Is he not there? Doug Danger is not there. Would you call him, please, Bud?
Yeah, we'll call him up right now.
Thank you. We're going to talk about... Where is... Mr. Henry is not here right now. We're going to talk about the film that's called... What's the name of the film?
Fifth Estate.
Fifth Estate. Benedict Cumberbatch plays the historic character Julian Assange. As you know, Julian Assange is at present a fugitive from prosecution by the United States government and other governments. Julian Assange is a man that obtained many documents from the U.S. government by way of this young man, Bradley Manning, who is a cross-dresser, and so he has his own problems. So you've got a cross-dresser. You've got a guy that bleaches his hair blonde and some say is a real perv. I'm sorry, I belched and you will hear me do that, and I apologize. So let's talk about this film. Doug Danger is back on the line with us. Doug, Phil walked out of the studio, and I can't say as I blame him.
I can't say as I blame him either, and he was not getting any respect at all, and I think he deserved a lot of respect, but... So, in any event, what do you want to ask me?
Well, what I want to ask you is the following thing. What did Julian Assange say to Benedict Cumberbatch to try to get the production of this film stopped?
Well, the word is that Julian Assange, at the very heart of the WikiLeaks case, talked to the star of Fifth Estate, Benedict Cumberbatch, and said, I would rather you not do this film. If you do this film, you'll be a part of a propaganda effort by a large state against an individual, and you will be a part of this this propaganda effort, and so on and so forth. So it was a whole lot of this 21st century polit speak that was going back and forth. And by the time I think the conversation had concluded, and maybe the conversation continued during the production of this film, but it was very clear that Mr. Cumberbatch was not going to be influenced by Julian Assange to the extent that he would quit the film.
So Benedict Cumberbatch pressed on. Was there any sympathy for the film or for Mr. Assange by Benedict Cumberbatch?
Well, I don't know if there was. One of the problems I'm having here is this guy's name, Benedict Cumberbatch, because as I say it, I'm afraid you've got a lot of people that are thinking in terms of a child's book, you know, because the name sounds like the name of a rabbit. And he had, just so I can say...
No, it doesn't sound that way to me. I'm trying to be serious here.
I'm trying to be serious as well. Benedict Cumberbatch has said that it's difficult for him to read for parts. It's difficult for him early on to get parts because people would think he was a giant rabbit or something stupid like that. They didn't think he was a giant rabbit, but they thought he was named after one. They thought it was something stupid. He almost didn't get this job. And Julian Assange had the gall And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I looked into this. I said, look at Sanjay. Here's a guy that's making fun of Benedict Cumberbatch because he has a name like he's a giant rabbit, and a guy like Julian Assange, he's got that name. Nobody even knows how to pronounce that name.
Well, I understand that. So let's, all right, so we've got, is the name Benedict Cumberbatch cleared up?
In terms of what?
In terms of people knowing that it's a man and not a giant rabbit.
No one ever believed he was a rabbit.
I know that, but...
You guys done?
Phil, would you come back in here and...
I'll move over there. Okay, so you guys understand, if you give me any more crap at all...
I understand.
All right, I was listening out there. This is the most asinine conversation I've heard in many, many a moon. Not since, well, just like last half hour. So Benedict Cumberbatch is not a giant rabbit. Right, Doug?
No, he's not a giant rabbit.
Okay. And Julian Assange was making fun of him. Why?
Julian Assange was making fun of Benedict Cumberbatch, telling him no one's going to take you seriously because your name is like the name of a giant rabbit. And that's when Cumberbatch said to Assange, excuse me, sir, but I've got a... And he said to him in these conversations, I've got a mountain to climb with you. I've got to butch your image up. Now, that's what he said to Julian Assange.
I got to butch your image up.
That's right. He said that you're talking to me about my name. I'm talking to you about who and what you are. He said, I do not believe, and this is to Benedict Cumberbatch's credit, I do not believe in what you've done. I don't support it. Assange wanted him to. Assange said, you're a guy who's named after a giant rabbit supporting a state that is suppressing an individual's freedom. Where do you get off doing that? He said, well, I get off doing it because I'm trying to rehabilitate your image because you are about as lightweight and sissified as anything I've ever seen. I got to put you up. I've got to reinforce. He said, you don't know what I got to do and the things I got to do.
All right, let's talk here on the other side of the break.
Well, I'm not done yet.
Nah, that's fine.
Are you going to keep talking about this?
Yes, I am. I'm going to keep talking about it. We got Doug. Why wouldn't I?
Well, I think we've gotten through the meatier parts of it with the name like a rabbit and...
Yeah, his name's like a rabbit, and then Julian Assange got a butch up.
Well, there's more to talk about, in my opinion. The whole point of this is not whether... We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, and philhenryshow.com. Our number is, as Margaret would say, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back with the final segment of the show in just a moment here. Famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com and 855-500-7445 is our number. Doug Danger and Margaret Gray, our final few seconds here, talking about this film called Fifth Estate. Julian Assange has talked to the actor involved, the star of the film, Benedict Cumberbatch, a very talented guy, a terrific actor, and no doubt, I think, a star, if not made, in the making. What do you think, Margaret?
Well, I think he's a very attractive actor, very, very talented actor, and I'm not leaning on the name thing. I understand that names are names. But when Doug said that he had the question as to whether he was a giant rabbit, that makes one wonder.
Look, nobody asked me, is he really a giant rabbit? That would be ridiculous. What people are saying is, what I'm trying to say to you is the following thing. People are saying to me, well, are people distracted by the name? In other words, if you have a Julian Assange, you know, no doubt Julian Assange, part of the problem he had with the film from the gate was the fact that it was, number one, it was going to be painting a rather unflattering picture of Julian Assange. This Julian Assange sees himself as a freedom fighter, you know, and now he has a rather unflattering portrayal of him. As a spy, as someone who stole secrets, as someone who jeopardized the safety of people, as someone who jeopardized the lives of people, as someone who jeopardized the security of nations. And then you have an actor who has this, you know, forgive me for saying this, bunny rabbit name. He thinks it compromises his image you know, as some kind of a stud. I don't know where that's coming from.
Wait a minute. Was this guy Assange consider himself a stud?
Well, he had this incident with these girls. I don't know that he thinks he's a stud, but he thinks there's a public, he has a public image to keep up as cutting this sort of stud-like jib, if you will, of the hung...
Well, I wouldn't say hung, you know.
Wait, hold on for a minute. Are you kidding me? Are you telling me that this guy, Assange, thinks he's got some kind of following among women?
I think he does. But I think that when an actor who has this kind of Harry Potter name comes flouncing out of a casting call with his long blonde hair and the whole real gay, the look of this guy, and my sources tell me, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but it doesn't make any difference to me. You can be straight as long as you get the job done. My sources tell me that Benedict Cumberbatch is not so much a guy with a bunny rabbit name as he is a, you know, he's a bunny all right, but you know with the. You know, and
what are you saying?
I think I'm, you know.
Spit it out, will you?
Spit it out? That's something that Benedict Cumberbatch might know a little bit more about.
Okay, man. You know, let's answer questions and ask questions, and let's not do innuendo.
You just said do innuendo, which sounds so retarded. You know,
you're the one that's avoiding answering the questions. All right, when you say that the man. You can say spit it out. You can do all of the things that will eventually get Phil canceled on a lot of stations. But you haven't answered the question. Is Benedict Cumberbatch, is he doing the bunny hop in the pea patch? That's the question.
Yeah.
Well,
wait, hold on. What does that mean, doing the bunny hop in the pea patch?
Well, I think you know.
That's pretty common.
It's pretty common for what? What does that mean?
Phil, look, I don't know how much time you guys have, but the answer is yeah. I think he's doing the bunny hop in the pea patch.
So that, all right, well, that explains a lot.
Yeah, but were you talking about that?
Hold on for a minute. Bunny hop in the pea patch means what?
Like I said, Phil.
Is he gay? Does that mean he's gay?
No, that doesn't mean...
What are you talking about, gay?
What is... He does the bunny hop in the pea patch means what?
I don't... Are you at liberty...
Am I at liberty to what?
To talk about these things.
Yeah, we're only thinking of you, Phil, but it is clear, and I think it's better that just people that know what we're talking about, they know what we're talking about. Benedict Cumberbatch has done the bunny hop in the pea patch for years. Years, if not decades.
I think it's pretty evident, yeah.
Well, so that's why...
Wait, hold on. I am not going to let this go. He's done the bloody hop in the pea patch for years. What does that mean? What does it mean? Spell it out.
You really want me to spell it out?
Yes.
All right,
All right, we had to dump that, folks.
Well, what do you think was going to happen?
I had no idea that that's what she's talking about. That's what...
Well, does it sound like he's gay?
No, it does not. It doesn't sound like that at all, obviously, but it's...
You know, that's why I said, Phil, it would be very difficult to explain to your audience, all right? Unless you wanted to bring models onto the... What you should have done, you could have brought some plastic models on for the video cast.
I had no idea we'd be talking about this.
Well, that's what bunny hop and a pea patch means.
Yes, and so, do they bring that out in the film at all?
They do not, because, again, you'd have to have... You'd have to have the clearance of the U.S. government. First of all, you'd have to get some kind of security clearance on that.
Well, I don't know why you'd need... you know what? I don't even want to talk about this anymore.
A lot of people don't know bunny hop and a pea patch. That's too bad.
Yeah, I guess it is too bad. I'll tell you what. If I can somehow... thank you very much, Doug. It's been great talking to you.
Boy, that really took the wind out of your sails, that whole bunny hop pea patch, huh?
The what?
Bunny hop pea patch.
Hey, Doug, don't get so relaxed, man, that I...
I said bunny hop and a pea patch.
That's better. Doug Danger, our guest. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
All right.
So are you going to explain it in the log?
No, I'm not going to explain it in the log. I'm not going to bring it up again. It's the most disgusting and vile...
But not gay.
No, he's obviously not gay, but it's... All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We thank Matt, our good brother there in D.C., for the technical direction. We thank you, Margaret, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard. Thanks to our guests. Thanks to all of you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our stations and all of our affiliates. I'll see our radio brothers and sisters at the Talker Seminar tomorrow in Los Angeles in Hollywood tomorrow around 12:20. See you then. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And don't forget to get a BSP. Pick up your Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirt. Just sort of wear it loud and proud, you know.
I'm gay and I'm proud.
Yeah.